Our Old Testament reading this excuse me, is from Proverbs chapter 2. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And the Lord gives wisdom, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Prudence will watch over you and understanding will guard you. It will save you from the evil, from those who speak perversely, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, for those whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You will be saved from the loose woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the partner of her youth and forgets her sacred covenant. For her way leads down to death and her paths to the shades. Those who go to her never come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. Therefore, walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the just, for the upright will abide in the land and the innocent will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Our New Testament reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is meant not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Should I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever is united to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is said, the two shall be one flesh. But anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun fornication. Every sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against the body itself. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Oy. Okay, so here we go into a continuation of a very messy church. But today, it's not about sleeping with your mother figure. No, it's not about taking people to jail or to court. Today, it's about going to prostitutes. Have you figured out that this may not be the healthiest church? In fact, I remember a guy saying, oh, I wish I was involved in the early church. I said, not Corinth. Corinth is a mess. Because fundamentally, and Paul has said this from the beginning, and I will say right now, this is super weird because they have a video of me back there. And I got to say, if you can figure out how to get rid of that, I would love it. Because I'm going to look at every mistake I make. So I'm not sure how this is working out. So, you guys see that? Yeah. Uh-huh. That is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. Okay, so I'm going to get my head around this. Where was I? The wisdom of the world they've embraced. The wisdom of the world is what's driving this. The wisdom of their teachers, the wisdom of the sophists, it is what they live for in this church. And it is this wisdom that is causing them to be destroyed. All of these actions come because of a set of ideas. And all of the actions in our world come because of a set of ideas. Now, how peaceful are you finding our world right now? Isn't it peaceful? It's nice, isn't it? We all go give hugs. Really, really close hugs with horses, apparently. It's a joke. Too or soon. We're in a crazy time. Many of us probably never thought we'd see the kind of stuff we're seeing right now in Canada. Would you agree? Or am I the only one? Families won't talk to each other. Well, I want to let you know it's because we are wrapped in the philosophy of the wisdom of the world today. So today I'm going to ask you to humor me. I'm going to show you what that philosophy is. And then I'm going to show you how in the world those guys could go to prostitutes and make sense of it in the same way that our world does what it does and makes sense of it. Okay? Now, there's these two really pretty guys. These two really pretty guys, how many people, just raise your hand, recognize them? Day, yeah, and that's what I expected. One person in this congregation. Do you know that these two gentlemen have affected your lives more than any politician? Did you know that? They have affected the cultural milieu more than anybody you hate, even Trump or Biden, even more than Trudeau. I'm trying to be humorous. These were French philosophers that came out in the 60s. And the world up to then was a time of modernism. Modernism taught this, that there is truth that can be found. And that truth can be found, and there is an absolute truth. Human beings just have to find it. The debate then was, what is the truth that we should embrace? So the modernist world was, socialism is the absolute truth. Capitalism is the absolute truth. Communism is the absolute truth. Fascism is the absolute truth. And these were the debates that went on before these guys showed up. And when these two absolute truths would collide, you'd have D-Day, Operation Barbarossa, war. Because two conflicting ideas came together and somebody had to win. Right? And nationhood fought nationhood. Well, these guys showed up one day and they said, no, there's something wrong with this idea that there's an absolute truth to find. In fact, truth through all these systems, including religion, are used by the rich and powerful to oppose the weak and the broken. Does that sound familiar? You're that now once in a while, don't you? We have the elitists and the victims. That's postmodernism. And so what happened is they said, there are no absolute truths. There's just the truth you live in. Now, if you happen to be a white Anglo-Saxon from Prince George, you live out of a truth. If you were a Nigerian female that's 30, you live out of a truth. And those systems must be opposed because they are used there to oppress you. So you need to be set free so that your individual truth could come forth. You ever heard somebody say, "My truth is"? Have you ever heard that? Right? That's postmodernism. You ever heard, after you've presented an argument, they go, "Well, that's your opinion," and don't give their own? That's postmodernism. Postmodernism says there isn't so any truth, and so there can be no argument. It's my truth, and I'm going to show for the rest of my life how those systems, whether they're religious or economic or whatever, political, are destroying the victims. And so they deconstruct them. They take them apart. And the only hope you have then as an individual is your truth. The truth became one with you. And thus, all you can stand on, but you must stand on, is the one absolute truth that you have. Your truth. You get it? This is the fundamental issue that's going on right now with the truckers. And no one gets it. Because if you think you didn't know who these guys were, 99% of the people don't understand the worldview that's going on, that's actually manipulating them again and again. These two guys, who are known as Derrida and Foucault, have impacted your children's upbringing, whether you liked it or not. If you've been to university in the last 30 years, these guys are the ones that you have been learning, whether you like it or not. And they are at the core. You ready for this? Not Christian. And yet Christians are embracing their argument. And that's why the church is such a mess. Because just like the Corinthians embraced that Greco-Roman philosophical world and destroyed themselves, we are destroying ourselves. But I promise you there's hope. But you got to stay to the end and you have to listen. No going to sleep. No fast forwarding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We ask you to bring life to this amazing truth of the gospel. Show us how it cuts through all worldly wisdom, including postmodernism. And show us the good news, the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you guys know by now, because I've shown this slide a million times, apparently we are going to be watching me in the back for the rest of this thing. Okay. They just went like this. Thanks. All right. So, this is our structural system. Starts as a pyramid. It starts at the bottom with the slaves and now right up to the patricians. And the patricians were the ones who loved Sophos. They loved to be on top, and they loved the worldly wisdom, just like our elite today. Like worldly wisdom. By the way, when you hear somebody call somebody a fascist or a misogynist or calls themselves a feminist, that's all postmodern language. Did you know that? That all fits within that. So when you hear your leaders call those things, they're living out of a story. Okay? Well, these guys had a very simple thing, and we've shown you. They've spiritually arrived, and they are now the top. Now, not all of them, because most of them wouldn't even have read the philosophers, but the leaders have now got an opportunity they could have never had. They get to look like the sophists, the philosophers, and so they start to embrace and preach this stuff. Well, guess what? It falls apart in their hands. You see, what they taught was the worldly wisdom around them to be attractive. And the worldly wisdom around them said this. Don't forget this. It's going to sound really similar to today. That when you become knowledgeable enough, spiritual enough, you are ultimately free from anything, including the gods. I can do what I want. Does that sound familiar? That's not a new idea. It's not progressive, it's regressive. I can do whatever I want. I am free. And now Paul has to deal with that. He has to deal with these guys who have been teaching this. So he gets into the text. And I cannot read them from here. All things are lawful for me. The Corinthian maximum. He's quoting them. All things are lawful for me. I'm so brilliant. I'm so spiritual. No one can tell me what to do. Because I'm so wise. And I already know that it's all about my spirit being set free. So who cares what I do in my body? Don't forget that they believed the body was evil. When Socrates was lying there having drank the hemlock, all of them were crying. And he says, why do you cry? I get to be seen and free from this prison, my body. So their freedom was a freedom from the physical world, a freedom from anything here. And they're saying, I am absolutely free. I can do what I want because I got the same right ideas. Well, Paul's going to have nothing to do with it. I'm sorry I have to look this way. All things are lawful for me. And then Paul responds, yeah, but not everything's beneficial. You see? That's a Paul answer. All things are lawful for me, but not all this stuff's going to be good for you. All things are lawful for me again, the Corinthian maxim. But Paul responds, I will not be dominated by anything. So he quotes them and then comes back and says, doesn't argue them from their point. He says, the simple reality is your freedom will destroy you. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, they say. In other words, what they mean is, this thing's just temporal, this physical body. Who cares what I do in it? Who cares? I'm going to be set free. And God will destroy both. One and the other, they say. Paul doesn't argue with them. But he fires back. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. That was stunning for their ears. No God cared about your body. No God cared about your physicality. No God cared about your humanity in the ancient world. And he turns it on its head and says, you know what? That body that you've been given is a gift, but a gift to be used for the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And then he says, and the Lord is for the body. When he says the Lord is for the body, you know what he's saying to us? That this terra firma, this soma, is sacramental. It's sacramental. All things, did it move? Didn't move on me. I'm going to need you to move the slides now. It looks like they're not talking to me. So next slide, please. And God raised the Lord, and he will also raise us by his power. So now what he does is he does something even more brilliant. He brings in the resurrection. He says, you think the body is going to be destroyed. And you're right, in the here and now, the body is temporal. But let me tell you something. The body is for the Lord, and you are sacramentally, physiologically beautiful. And I will tell you why. Because you have been called to be for the Lord, because when that empty tomb came, he showed that he's the God of the resurrection, including your body. He has made your body a sacrament. He has made your body a place where he wants to dwell. What a weird worldview for them, who thought this world was just going to be destroyed and they'd be set off and be spiritually free. So why not go to a prostitute? Because my spirit will be free. It doesn't matter what I do in my body. Do you see how they thought? And Paul says, oh, you got it so wrong. You are the place where heaven and earth dwells. and will for eternity. Should I therefore, and this gets a little bit confusing, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? This language here is of arms. It could mean other things. I won't get into it. Should I therefore take members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? How can I take it if I'm physiologically connected to Christ through the Spirit? How can I take that arm and put it on a prostitute? He's making the point it's virtually impossible. Never, he says. Do you not know that whoever is united with a prostitute becomes one body with her? Now we say, what are you talking about, Emery? Well, he goes back to Genesis. For it is said that the two shall become one flesh. I've often shocked people who I tell that biblically, and I remember doing it to youth group, that when you sleep with someone, you are getting married, biblically. And they're like, what? And then they go, which one? And I go, well, that tells me something. But you understand, because the body is sacramental, because it represents Christ there, it is a covenantal relationship. The Jews themselves didn't count the vows as the marriage like us. They used to follow the family to the bedchamber. Must have been quite an experience. And once the man came out with his blanket showing that something had happened, I got to make sure I can keep this 14A, the people would cheer. Because the covenant had happened. It's the Greeks in us who think it's when you stand up in front of me in your little pretty dress and your nice little tuxedo and say, I do, that you've got it. But everyone who be united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Thus, he says, because of the body problem, he now can talk about fornication. You notice that the fornication isn't the problem. It's the wisdom they have. And the fornication is the toothpaste cap issue. They don't know how to deal with the body. They don't have a clue what to do with theologically the resurrection and the eternal. So all they have is the temporal. And then he goes, every sin that a person commits is outside the body. Probably what they're saying. But the fornicator is against the body himself. Probably Paul replying. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? What is that temple language? He's talking about the temple in Israel where heaven and earth would come together. Where the Holy Spirit, the power of God would come down. And he's saying something so profound here, folks. You, believer, are that place where heaven and earth come together. If that's true and it happens in your body, then your body matters. If that place is the place where God is going to choose to dwell now in the temporal and in the resurrection for eternity, then what you do in the physical matters. Paul is not a prude. He's not going, are you having sex? No. What he's saying is, you must begin to see the world as God showed it to us. Then you can understand what a gift it is and what it means to be human. You ask yourself, Emery, how could these people be going to prostitutes? Well, first of all, it's not the same kind of prostitution we had or have. They weren't hopping down to Leon Street to pick somebody up. You understand that? They're not calling a 1-900 number to get somebody. Prostitution in the ancient world before Paul got there was seen as an act of worship. It was seen as a way when you went into the temple that you would inspire the gods to reign on the earth. Any further detail will definitely get me a much higher rating, so I'm not going to say any more if you want to know. But it's important to understand that going to a prostitute was the norm, and it actually, by the culture, was looked upon as a good thing. And yet Paul says, It destroys the humanity that was in you because you have an eternal body. You notice that? Because your body is sacramental because you have Jesus Christ within you. You are the temple. How can you sully it? That's his point. Where am I now? There we go. The Holy Spirit within which you have from God, and that you are not your own. Do you not know that yours is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that your body is actually what said is not your own? How do you think that would go over today? Your body's not your choice. Excuse me? I'm surprised people haven't run out the doors. What I'm trying to say to you is the offense to Corinth is the offense to today. Because the same reality is going on. We believe the wisdom of the world. And the reason the Western church is dying is because we've embraced postmodern Christianity. Slide. Oh, sorry. We got to go back to this. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify your body. That's why your body matters, because he died on a cross. Let's go to the next slide. Postmodern Christianity is this worldview that's come along in the last 40 years. Most modernist Christians, a generation before us, thought, well, our truths are more true than their truths. And the debate would be amongst the, I don't know, evangelicals versus the liberals, or perhaps the Baptists versus the Pentecostals, or Presbyterians versus, I don't know who our enemies are. I don't think people care enough to make us an enemy. That's how they worked, but they come now and they're trying to have these debates, and what they forget is the world has changed. We now have a world where the people sitting in front of us say, my truth is absolute truth. Do you get that? Your kids have been taught since they were little kids that their identity is all that matters. That what they do in their body is their choice. Not only that, is to be deified. And anyone who opposes you is trying to suppress you because they're in power. And the reason we have this incredible, weird world we have right now is because these truths have come in, and some people's ideas of who they are is getting stranger and stranger. I just watched a news clip. Can I say that? And it was of a lady who said she was born a wolf. And there's absolutely no reason logically when in postmodernism you could laugh at that. Because it's the exact same argument that's made for all the other identities. But she was a very nice wolf because she didn't howl at night because her neighbors didn't like it. You see, there's something the Christian must understand or they'll never live a healthy Christian life. The wisdom of God is juxtaposed to the wisdom of this age. And if you choose to live the wisdom of this age, you will walk away from God. Michel Foucault, one of those beautiful guys I showed you at the beginning, he said this. From a Christian point of view, human reason is madness compared to the reason of God. But divine reason appears, as madness to human reason. Do you see that? He himself saw that from the Christian worldview, the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of the world. He recognized that this postmodernism was anti-Christian. And he, of course, said, well, God's wisdom is foolish. At least he had enough wisdom to understand what the wisdom of Christianity even said. I'm letting you guys know right now that you are watching a conflict that's happening on a spiritual level with the truckers. And if you can't feel it, and I'm not asking you to, but there's something deeper going on than vaccines. And if you haven't figured that out, come talk to me. There is a spiritual reality going on that's always there, because when God, who dies on a cross and says wisdom comes from suffering and letting go and never worshiping the beast, encounters a beast that wants power, that's where the conflict comes. That's where the crosses start coming out. We have an incredible problem right now in this world, and it's that we have so many people identifying their own self independent of other people that no one is talking. You want to know why no one's getting along right now? Because we don't have the same story anymore. Why do you think there's so many Canadian flags? You ever thought about that? Why so many Canadian flags? Well, I'm proud Canadian. Yeah, but why flags? Because that's your identity in a world of identities. It's just another identity. And Jesus Christ came into this world to die, not find an identity. He would have said to his postmodern people, if they were around, you're absolutely right. This world is full of power. These people manipulate with their language and their so-called truths to keep it. But the answer is not to divide people. It's not to label people as if you can understand. Jesus Christ would say one thing. You know what it is? The cross. And that can't be heard, because the cross is love, not power. Folks, I'm going to do something and say something completely offensive. Ready for this? The absolute truth is Jesus Christ. Okay? The absolute truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is not a set of ideas against another, no matter what the modernists say. And it isn't your individual truth. The one truth is the person of Jesus Christ. It's not my truth. It's the God who died on the cross. And he said in John those words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. And why he said those harsh words was because the religious world of his day had the truth. The empire had the truth. People underneath it had the truth. The postmodernists have the truth. The modernists have the truth. The truth, the truth, the truth. And Jesus Christ says, nope. I'm the absolute amazing deconstructionist. Because I'm going to come here and show you my love, and I'll never take your power. Because I'll carry a cross. And when that truth comes, it lays low all of our personal truths. And now we have a choice. Do we embrace that truth or our truth? We're right back to the garden. The wisdom of the world says, you can be like God, knowing good from evil. Your truth can rule. And we have a God who's come and said, that will kill you, like I told you. But come home to me, the truth. Embrace who I am. And you will inherit eternal life. And your body matters. So So why are we so messed up in the church in the West? I'm going to tell you right now. Because Scripture is essential to faithfulness. You will never know this God without the Scriptures. The only way to know the revelation of this God truly is to understand Scriptures. And we have become such postmodernists, whether both in the evangelical and liberal churches, by the way, that we spend more time wanting to have my truth and experience of worship, my truth when I'm reading my Scripture, my truth that I can fit in my way. And we've lost seeking the truth, the love, the incredible story of Jesus Christ. I'm teaching this stuff all over for the last 20 years about the body mattering. And people are shocked who've been in church for 40 years. Why? Because we forgot that Scripture matters. And we tell people all kinds of nice truths about 7 steps to a happy life. Again, I'm going to make a theological statement on this. I use this quote because I think it hits it right on the head. There is a great superficiality in today's evangelical world. Many Bible-believing Christians share the contemporary case for self-gratification, emotionalism, and anti-intellectualism. But many people who believe in the Bible have never read it. And if you've never read this story about the truth of the way and the truth and the life, you will embrace the truth. And right now, that's postmodernism. And guess what? Just like the church in Corinth, your life's going to become a mess. Because there's only one that gives that Zoe life. I'm going to get in trouble, I know, from this. Please send all emails to Mike. Gordon Fee, on this section, notes this. Those who take Scripture seriously are not prudes or legalists at this point. Rather, they recognize that God has purchased us for higher things. Our bodies belong to God through the redemption of the cross, and they are destined for resurrection. So he's demanding us to believe it and live like it's true. If you think your body is only for here and now, you will treat it like it's only for here and now. And you'll treat your fellow man and woman in the same way. But if your body is going to be resurrected, that changes it, doesn't it? That means what you do in the here and now matters. Well, if you believe in Scripture, that is what it's saying right through the Torah and the prophets and the wisdom literature and right through the Gospels and the epistles. That we have a God that died for our sins is incredible. And it has given us an amazing freedom. Is it going to come up? Hello. There we go. You see, the amazing freedom now is we were bound, and I want you to hear this, by idolatry. By trying to be like God, by trying to find our own identity. Have you ever felt bad for these people that are wearing 6 different colors in their hair and 19 different, what do they call them, piercings? I saw a guy, he's great, I love the guy. I had to ask him how he did it. I mean, he had a hoop about that big in his ear. And I was like, why? I can tell you why. He's trying to find something. Don't kid yourself. We have this amazing freedom to say, guess what? I don't have to find myself or my truth. I have been found. I don't have to embrace some other truth or identity. I have been given a new one because of the cross. I want you to notice something fascinating in the way Paul talks. He could have gone all Levitical and said, you shouldn't have sex with prostitutes, right? But you notice what he does? He says, here's why you don't. And here's the good news. You're going to be resurrected. I wonder how many young people, if they could hear the truth of the full, beautiful gospel, wouldn't feel like these are rules, but gifts. Oh, Paul, he was beautiful. Karl Barth said, Paul knew how to give a categorical and effective warning on the basis of the whole gospel. And his warning is far more categorical and effective than that of many who are before and after him have tackled the problem purely from the standpoint of the law. Sorry, this is a bit longer, I know, but it's a deep topic. I don't know how many of you will ever read Foucault and Derrida, and I'm telling you, it's not a fun read. I had to. But you can embrace Scripture. You can learn that truth. And then you will find the life of Christ. You don't have to know all of what's going on in the world, but when you embrace Jesus Christ, you find truth. So I'm going to use that language again. You ever heard this? My body, my choice, right? Well, in one sense, it is. It really is. That's because Jesus Christ is so amazing, he's given you free will. And in that sense, you can do whatever you want. You can stand one-legged on a pogo stick in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, if you want. But is it beneficial? I wonder what Paul would say to our maxims. It's my truth. I think Paul would come back, but is it the truth? That's your opinion. But is it a good opinion? Is it good for us? Well, if you believe in Jesus Christ and he has become your Lord and Savior, your body's not yours. The Lord himself has paid for it on a cross. You don't own your body. That's the truth. You're his. Now the good news, my friends, is he's going to give you one even better. But you have to ask yourself, if I'm not my own, then how do I live to honor the one who purchased me out of sin, death, and the devil? The implication of the argument in 6:12-20 is that the Corinthians who claim the freedom to do anything must stop acting as free moral agents and submit their real discernment to Paul's apostolic teaching, to the discernment and discipline of the community as a whole. But it has to be volunteer. See, this is the thing. I will never tell you you have to come to this church. But I will say you have to if you want to be in right relationship with him. And it's a volunteer. And that's the amazing grace. I was thinking about how to end this. And I realized that ultimately this is an incredible comment of promise. You see, in the end, he says, you were purchased with a price. You've been washed by the blood. And what that means is, as we're living in our bodies now, we have the greatest promise of anybody in this world, the promise that one day you will rise again in a world that lasts forever. So I was watching the end of Les Mis. Have you guys ever seen Les Mis? If you haven't, go see it. It's one of the most Christological plays you'll ever see. And in the end, this guy named Jean Valjean is sitting there. He's lived his life. He's made choices of sacrifice throughout it. But he lived those choices of sacrifice because he knew there was something more. And as he passes on, the people he ran into that he loved, who he treated in his body with respect, they came and they started singing together. Do you want something more? I promise you guys, the reason these things are in here is because God and Jesus Christ and Paul wants you to live abundant life forever. It's up to us whether we will. We can choose to embrace the wisdom of this world or Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are incredible. We are a resurrection people because of your grace. And we are an Exodus people because of your love. We pray by your Holy Spirit that you will breathe upon us and that you will help us to see the world through your truth, Jesus Christ, and embrace it in a world that hates one another. May this church be unified because our main identity is you. And may we be a witness in a world that hates each other, that there is an eternal way that's way better. In Jesus' name, amen.